Tonight's episode of the Shining Wizards Podcast is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker, The Midnight Jury, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. That's the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boo, and of course, at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you purchase anything from Amazon, visit ShiningWizards.com and go through the Amazon button on the front page. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and a very small percentage of your purchase goes to support the show. Would you like to put our logo on your chest? Visit ShiningWizards.com/merch, where you can pick up one of our new pink and black Heart Attack t-shirts. Or if you prefer, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards, where you can pick up a few other designs, including the Shining Wizards Network shirt. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and we hope you enjoy tonight's show.
This is Tito Santana, and you are listening to the Shining Lizards. Arriba!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back in Studio A for another jam-packed edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Where's the music?
It's there.
Oh.
It's wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
I'm Tony.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Matt.
And we have got a killer weekend, by the way, starting with our boy Kevin, who is going to be appearing with the legendary Mick Foley on Thursday back in Garwood at Crossroads. It's xxroads.com for a great night of comedy, including Kevin's buddy Adam Lucidi.
Yep.
Who's the other fellow on the show?
Joe Carney, the guy was there that night, who is one of the producers of the show, who jumped on and did a little time, who now is proudly rocking the Shining Wizards shirt.
Very funny dude, by the way.
Yeah, he's really good. Real quick adjustment. This entire time, I thought the show started at 8 o'clock. It starts at 7.
Ooh.
I did not know that. I talked to my buddy Rich, who's the other producer with the guy, and we all thought it was 8 o'clock the entire time. It is 7. I'm not sure if it's a meet and greet first or a meet and greet after, but there is one. There is a meet and greet, so.
And there's not many tickets available.
It's really.
It's very, like on the border of being shut out if you don't get your tickets
If you think you're going to get tickets at the door, I would advise against that and go to eventbrite.com. Just search in there, Mick Foley, Garwood. It'll have all the information there for that. So that's I'm super stoked for that. I'm gonna do a little time, not a lot, because Foley is the show. We're just there to set him up. So doing a little time there, and Mick Foley, man, that's cool.
You are the Irish whip to Mick Foley's roaring elbow.
I really am.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is what it is.
But speaking more awesomely, Kevin will also be joining myself and Eddie, as well as the boys from Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Phil and Dave, this Saturday at Legends of the Ring in beautiful Monroe, New Jersey. We will be there at the crack of dawn to get things started. And we are also going to be joined by fellow host on the Shining Wizards Network, Pro Wrestling 101's own Justin Credible, as well as WWE Hall of Famer, the beautiful Sunny. She will be joining us. And, of course, that night, Pro Wrestling Syndicate Super Show.
What about our Turnbuckle Throwback Brothers?
Oh, I said Phil and Dave.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so we have a busy weekend. Plus, we have Supercard. Bret Hart's going to be there.
Booker T.
Booker T. I think Baron Von Raschke's going to be there.
Our pal, the Hurricane.
I know Eddie and Kevin will be vending D.H. Smith and Lance Archer.
Hoyt.
Archer.
He was Vance Archer in WWE.
Oh, and I just mush them together.
He was Dallas, then he was Lance Hoyt, and then he was Vance Archer. And now he is back to being Lance Hoyt. I think are they the Killer Elite Squad too? Is that
yes.
their name?
That's what they're, yes.
I knew that, but I feel like that was a team. Wasn't that Terry Gordy and Dr. Death's name? What was their name?
No, Gordy and Steve Williams. Hold on. I'm going to get you right now. Because I know Phil and Dave Megapowers are probably screaming at me.
I knew the name at one point, but...
Oh, Jesus. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, wow. They were the... Hello. Miracle Violence Connection.
Miracle Violence. Wow, that wasn't even close. Killer... I mean, there's three words.
Yeah, I mean, they both kind of...
Yeah.
Almost mean the same thing. There's violence involved.
Yeah, it's
the
murder.
Killer Elite Squad and the murder. Miracle Violence Connection is... Those are two dastardly sounding groups.
That is true. And yeah, so we have that. And that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of great matches on the card. First time ever, the one I'm looking forward to the most, if I get a chance to catch it, is the first time ever Hurricane versus Colt Cabana. Should be a good match.
It should be a great match. Yeah. What I'm looking forward to is Bonesaw Mario.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Didimo. He does Pop Cultivation Podcast. He interviewed me like a year ago. I was hammered, and we talked wrestling. He's a big wrestling fan. He listens to the podcast. Him and his friends started the Boosaw movement.
Is that them?
That is them.
They hate Mike? I mean, they hate Bonesaw?
The Boosaw movement is huge. And he actually had Mario and Bonesaw do a little interview for his show, about 13 minutes of them kind of doing a face-off, going back and forth. Bonesaw cuts a sick promo. And
why are they trying to turn him heel?
You know what? It's just the fans having a good time and just getting out there. And you know what? They're not hurting anyone. And Bonesaw is kind of embracing it. Like, you want to boo me? Go ahead. I'm still going to beat Mario and be the champion.
There you go.
Two-time champion. So it's all in good fun. You know? I think it's great.
Nah. It's I have to dig deeper into this, because I just saw a picture of like, I saw there's T-shirts, there's posters, there's
oh yeah, the Boosaw movement is phenomenal. Let's see if I can find it. Join the Boosaw movement. Is
that like a playoff the whole Bautista?
No, thing? Bonesaw.
But like, you know how they were calling Bautista, Bautista?
I found it funny that Bautista was actually trending.
Oh, we're going to get into that later.
Oh, we will. Don't worry about that.
We're gonna finish up our stuff. That's it. That's all we got, right?
Yeah. I mean, big weekend for wrestling. And then I know Superstars, they're doing a show the 8th.
The very next afternoon
if
at
you're
the same exact venue.
In the Rahway area.
What a weekend for wrestling.
I'm
what
excited.
A weekend.
Yeah. It seems like every weekend
nowadays.
Is a weekend for wrestling. I know Eddie, I think he went to the Superstars Wrestling show this past weekend. Teddy Hart was in Wall, New Jersey. Yeah. He did a show. Beyond Wrestling is doing secret shows. CZW was in Ohio. It's just a good time to be a wrestling fan.
Especially if you're not enjoying the main product. You have a lot of options, which we always say. But it seems like now every weekend there's something popping up, something going on, and it's always a good show, and not just putting something on for the sake of putting something on.
And if you're like a hardcore, crazy wrestling fan, I'm pretty sure the Super J Cup started this morning at like 3 a.m.
Really?
I think so. Let me look it up.
I haven't heard anything about the Super J Cup in a while.
Is it Super Juniors? Something like that. I'll tell you right now. Best of the Super Juniors just started this morning.
Anyone of note in that you have?
I can look that up. Hold on.
That's all right.
Yeah, whatever. We'll get back to that later. We'll jump into Best of the Super Juniors. But let's talk about some of the current product. The big news.
Big.
Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins is the heel turner.
He is.
Breaking up probably the most dominant force in the WWE in the last year and a half.
Complete surprise. No one knew about it. Perfectly done. Awesome.
Now, I will say last week when me and you did a show from Studio B, I suggested Roman Reigns makes the turn
right.
And joins Evolution because Batista is on his way out.
Batista.
But I mean, it works out well. If the story makes sense, Seth has always been the underdog, the kind of
He was the one that if they were going to split, I think 95% of the people thought that he would end up being the one left behind. I think that everyone knew that Roman Reigns is going to be the big star. I think we all know that. If you don't, you're an idiot. I think that they have faith in Dean Ambrose because he's just so creepy and has this weird charisma about him. Roman Reigns, I thought, until recently, was the one that no one really cared about. And then he became this awesome worker, and he was the one getting all the spots. So I think it works out perfect. I think it's great.
I think, I guess I'm an idiot because I think Roman Reigns will be the first to be a big star, but I think in the long run, Ambrose will have a longer run on top.
I think
not, so. Not saying that they all don't have that superstar they potential.
Might, for all, like I say, for all I know, they all three of them might be the next year's WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Could be a three-way dance, former members of The Shield.
We thought this was going to happen months ago. We thought that was going to be that for this WrestleMania. This past WrestleMania, the but only, they kept them together.
The only thing I'm not crazy about is, like Matt made a good point, they're crazy over and they're consistently winning the big shows, you know? They won Sunday night.
Yeah. Dominating. All three of them.
All three eliminated the three members of Evolution. That's huge. That is huge bank on the back of these guys. And they've been doing it consistently. It's just weird. Like, it. I mean, I don't care. Like, there was really, like, no build for it. It was a great surprise. I'm curious to see where they go. But I don't know, man. It was just like they were so strong, you know? It's like, why? Like, why, Seth? Why?
I know. Part of me doesn't want to see them broken up because they're just so awesome together.
Exactly.
But everything changes in wrestling, and someone is always going to move on from something. And I'm very intrigued to see how they do this with the three of them in Evolution. Well,
I think it speaks of where the landscape in the WWE is. Daniel Bryan's on the shelf. He hasn't been on for a while. The Evolution Shield feud has been white hot.
The best thing.
They haven't had.
Is that a picture of you with Kevin Sullivan?
Yes. there hasn't been. I mean, I know it's only been a 2-month run, and they've only had their big blow-off shows at pay-per-views, but they haven't had a bad match.
No.
No, they look fantastic.
And outside of Cena and Wyatt, which is also an awesome feud, regardless of the outcome, some people hate it.
I just want it to be over. I want those guys to move on.
Well, I feel like they're going in that direction. And as we dive more into Raw, we'll talk about that. But that's the landscape is, I think you're big players and everyone hates, you know, Triple H always needs to be on top. It works in this situation.
I like it.
With you're taking an established group like Evolution and you're elevating everybody in the Shield and then bringing someone like Rollins who, you know, everyone thinks it's going to be Reigns or Ambrose. Rollins kind of flies under the radar. Yep. Now you're bringing him and you're putting him in that group and in the spotlight as the young up-and-comer, like the Batista or the Orton when Evolution first rolled out. Now, me and Kevin talked as we were coming to Studio A. You have to even out, right? You have to add a third member to the Shield.
This is where I was going, yeah. This is where. What do you think? You think it's an NXT? You think it's somebody that's on the roster now?
I don't know who fits the mold
of the Shield.
Well, think of it like this. Do you really look at Seth Rollins and see that he fit Evolution?
That's the thing. We have to wait. I think we have to wait and see in how they play out, how closely associated they're going to be. Did Triple H make him a money offer to, and now they're going to be Evolution? Or did he just... Is Seth Rollins going to come out to Evolution's music?
Yes, I think so. Seth Rollins was the plan B.
Okay, so the three of them are now going to be the new Evolution, Orton, Triple H, and Seth Rollins.
It's going to be weird seeing Seth Rollins come out in the suit again. You know, all gussied up, standing like next to them.
Ring of Honor style. That's a great question, because they just left it.
They didn't tell us anything. I don't even hear what they said leading up to Seth Rollins hitting him with the chair.
Well... it was supposed to be Reigns against Orton. The Shield comes through the crowd. They cut a promo, watching it this afternoon because I didn't see it last night, but I did watch it before I came here. Knowing what happens, the seeds are planted. Rollins gets on the mic and he said, "You know, we dominated last night. You know, but we beat three of the most influential people in the wrestling business, but they didn't work as a team." You know, they didn't work as one. And then they kind of get, like, weird glares from Ambrose and Roman. And then Reigns gets, or Ambrose gets on the mic and he spews some, you know, we're the Shield. And then Roman
such
Reigns.
A scuzz. I love him.
And then Roman gets up and he's like, you know, they didn't work as, they all worked as individuals. And I'm doing a visual in studio, so enjoy this.
He's doing an individual.
They all worked as individuals, and we worked as a team. And he gives, like, the fucking shield fist. And then he's like, you know, Orton, come out here so I could use this fist to knock your teeth down your throat. Or he says something goofy like that.
Through his anus.
So then they come out, and Triple H has the sledgehammer, so they all go outside the ring. And
No, they all didn't go out.
Rollins ran out
and got two chairs, and he threw them
in. Yeah.
And then next thing you know, blam! Yeah. Dude, he beat the shit out of Dean Ambrose.
Someone put pictures up on the social media. I don't know whose back it was.
It was Roman Reigns' back.
Fucking annihilated.
He fucking just was swinging for the fences with
he
that
took
shit.
A beating at Payback, too, in addition to Raw, because he got the Singapore Kane treatment over and over again from Evolution at Payback.
Sure
and
did.
He also got the chair shots from hell from Seth Rollins.
The chair.
So that was the big to do on Raw, and now it's weird that the backlash, the reaction that comes from wrestling fans on Facebook and Twitter, and if they go out and they surprise you and you don't like it, you instantly shit on it. This is what I'm seeing.
WWE sucks.
Now, if it's predictable, people hate it because
can't win.
It's the same old shit.
You need.
Durr, Cena only does five moves, and he always
wins.
You
need to let it play out. We're all guilty of it. Everyone's been there. But like, you know, Daniel Bryan was in the Wyatts, and then he left the Wyatts. And was it too early? We don't know.
It was all in the span of like 3 hours, right? Wasn't it?
It was a couple weeks,
3 weeks maybe.
But it doesn't. You know, if the end game is him winning the title at WrestleMania, and this is part of the story, and it just plays out that way, then it works. Like. If Seth Rollins is pretending to be like a Los Angeles King in 4 weeks, if the Rangers beat them, like then it's a shit job. Yeah. And they fucked up.
I think I can't imagine. Like, listen, they fuck up a lot of shit. I can't see them fucking this up. I mean, I hope. I guess it's just like maybe that's. I'm just so naive.
I don't think it's gonna get fucked up because of the players in the game, and
no pun intended,
and the way that they've been performing.
Yeah. Part of me thinks that like the devil's advocate in me is thinking that Seth Rollins is going to be like how do I put this? He's going to be like a lackey instead of an equal part of the group. Like he should be on the level of Triple H. Like he should be Batista's spot because Batista, Randy Orton, Triple H, we said all the same level. Seth Rollins can't be looked at as, like I said, like the lackey. Like he's got to be there. He can't be Triple H's yes guy.
Well, he's the new guy though. He has to. Now, I don't think they're gonna make him like. They're not gonna be like stupid skits where he has to like get coffee for Stephanie
no,
and
the
go
toes,
buy
Virgil the toes.
Go buy diapers for fucking their stupid kids. But you can't just put him on the same level. Between Orton and Triple H, I mean, I know it doesn't mean anything because they toss the belt around like we do a frisbee in the park. They got like 30 titles between them, like world titles, right? They have to.
Well, the three of them did. Batista.
What does Orton and Triple H
like
each 15, have over 10?
So do 15.
Might even be more than that.
Triple H has 15 alone.
So, and Orton's got at least like 9, 10.
Yeah.
So just between those two guys, that's 25 world heavyweight championships or WWE championships. I mean, they're going to take him. He's the young guy. They're going to groom him. He's going to evolve into Triple H or an Orton or even, you know, what Batista was supposed to be or what he became.
All right, so now let's get back to this now. You're talking about evening the sides. If the Shield adds a new guy, who do you guys put in?
I don't think it's a bad choice of going with Wade Barrett.
No, because that doesn't make...
Wade Barrett, I think, is doing great.
Yeah, I think Wade's got
Actually, I would like to see Wade with those two.
Dude, they all cut their promos, and Wade comes out wearing all the black, and he's like,
I got some bad news.
Exactly, dude. How fucking awesome would that be?
I think the crowd would fucking
pop. Evolution!
I think the crowd would go nuts. I think, I really, because they love Bad News Barrett as it is. I think they would go nuts for that.
Especially since Paul Heyman and Cesaro walked out on him in the tag match. He might be a little bit tweener status right now.
He could be. But see,
so like, do you bring in like a new blood,
like an NXT guy, or like,
would you? Do you bring in the like? Do you bring in? I'm just throwing out a name. It might not make sense. Maybe the Ascension. Do you bring them up as a tag team,
and just throw? Oh, okay. And put
no,
them
I'm
in
good.
There?
Thank you. Or do you bring up like Sammy Callahan?
Because
they scrapped his hacker code Solomon Crow thing.
Callahan, I think, would fit in really well with them. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen much of his look in NXT, but if it's anything like I remember it, he could be like the yin to like Dean Ambrose's fucking yang.
I mean, he would fit. That would be fucking sick.
Let me go to the roster page.
Because I'm pretty sure they scrapped his hacker deal.
I thought that was getting really good reviews.
The thing is, like, so I think. It's hard to say because we don't really know what goes on, but I mean, like, maybe Vince or Triple H or whoever writes the storylines, like, CM Punk dropping out, like, even Daniel Bryan said it on Stone Cold's podcast.
Ooh,
like,
CM Punk.
When Daniel, he says he's done that.
I know.
Like, Daniel Bryan said it on Stone Cold's when CM Punk left, like, that's why Bryan got the title. And then, okay, so you reconfigure everything, and that sets up the Shield against Evolution, but then now Daniel Bryan's fucking hurt again. So maybe this Rollins thing wasn't in the card, and now they're doing it because they need to.
Yeah, that's completely possible.
I read something today, though, that said that it was this most secret thing that they've ever kept. Like, whoever knew the script, no one else knew what was going to happen tonight.
Well, Stephanie also took a shit fit a couple weeks ago on one of the
No, she just took a shit.
That was great. I don't care what anybody says. She fucking pissed or shit herself or did something. It looks like she sharted, dude.
Hey.
Who knows? Maybe all them protein shakes that her and her husband are drinking, and she fucking got a little emo when she got smacked.
I'm sure that thing was doctored.
Outside of the Rollins heel turn, there were very few, and I mean very few,
positive
spots about Raw.
You know who I could see actually joining the Shield? Get rid of the stupid Bo Leave gimmick and put Bo Dallas in there.
I could get on board with that because I
dress him up in black
to
cover his little portly belly that they keep showing jiggling. Enough with this, like, oh, I believe it. It sucks, dude.
I tore my new asshole last week.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
It's fucking dumb. It's dumb. He looks like a fucking, like an Indian chief with this long hair, and he's supposed to be this positivity guy. Like,
Matt, I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't hate it as much as I hated it last week.
No, you come on, don't do it, Kev.
Listen, I don't like it. I think first of all, I think his gear looks indie level. It's bad. Like, put some real gear on.
Put a singlet on.
Put something on, and I think he's not big enough to like.
You know what they should do? They should just fucking put him in overalls and put him in the Wyatts. He would fit right in.
Let him be the farmhand.
He would fit right in. Let him come to the ring with a pitchfork. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
You guys don't believe.
Fuck that.
I don't believe anything.
So, okay, what's stupider? Bo Dallas or Adam Rose?
I love Adam Rose.
I hate Adam Rose,
I love
dude.
To see Adam Rose. That's why I'm hoping that maybe Bo Dallas will come around because same thing happened with Bad News Barrett and Adam Rose. I love Adam
Rose.
Rose.
I don't know, man. It's not working for
me. Here's the thing. Adam Rose, great worker. Had a great match on NXT TakeOver. Even had a good match with Swagger on Raw. The character is just not working.
It's for shits. They're trying to make it like a party dude when he's a fucking supposed to be like a pill-popping idiot, a fucking raver. It doesn't work when you're just like, oh, we're having fun with the bunny. Ooh. It doesn't fucking work.
I love it.
I can't get behind it.
Although, I'm so glad that Emma hasn't been on TV for the past, 2 months? That fucking gimmick was
for
shits.
Like 2 weeks ago?
Was she on 2 weeks ago?
She was on SmackDown, I think. Was I home Friday night?
What,
last week?
Although, I gotta tell you, in order of annoyance, it's definitely Bo Dallas is probably the least. Adam Rose is next, and then Emma's at the bottom. Emma's like the fucking worst thing.
So you hate, it's Bo Dallas annoys you the most?
No, Bo Dallas annoys me the least out of those three.
So Emma annoys you. Annoys you
me. Annoys me. Yes.
So it's Emma, Adam Rose, Bo
and
Dallas.
Bo Dallas.
That order.
Yes.
Adam Rose is awesome.
Let's see. What did I not like about Raw?
The tag match was fine. With
which one? Which
both
one?
Both tag matches were good.
Oh, the Usos and the Harpers.
The Usos against
Rowan and Harper.
Harper and Rowan.
Yeah.
I liked.
Me too.
And I liked the Sheamus RVD Barrett Cesaro match.
It was fine until like the dopey little like pull Cesaro out and then just walk away. Like,
That didn't bother me so much.
I don't know. I guess I was looking for like a cool finish, you know. Like,
oh, were you looking for Damian Sandow to pretend he was a basketball player and come out and pretend to dribble and shoot hoops, and then have the Big Show come out and throw a basketball at his tummy and punch him?
And slam dunk on a hoop that was 3 feet shorter than the Big Show?
Good. I'm so glad I missed this part. It sounds awful.
Damian Sandow must have taken somebody's fine china and just sprayed fucking diarrhea all over it. Because he has got the worst. I don't know why. At some point, he's just got to be like, can I go back to the Indies? Can I go work at fucking Sonic? Can I do something besides be on TV and look like a retard?
And almost nearly as bad was the fact that they fucking jobbed Dolph Ziggler again. ADR. Honestly, why would you continue to push ADR? I don't understand it. I don't get it. Why is he still relevant?
The night before, there was a massive We Want Ziggler chant in the Big E Rusev match. And so they come out the next night in a similar market, and they have Ziggler on the show. And they make him lose.
And they job him in a Money in the Bank qualifier. And it's a no-brainer to put Dolph Ziggler in a Money in the Bank match.
Because if anything, and someone said this, me and Eddie went back and forth about this last night, but someone said, if anything, Ziggler's going to bump and make the match look 10 times better.
Exactly.
I forget who said that. Sorry, I'm forgetting your name, but someone said that to me last night.
And it's just, it's makes, like 2 months ago, fucking ADR was losing to Sin Cara.
Yeah.
Like, ADR, great, whatever. Maybe he's on his way out.
I don't like him. I don't
like him either.
Neither do I.
I can't stand him. It doesn't make my brain. The fact that you're going to, before this, Stephanie comes out and cuts a promo and says, if Brian can't wrestle, then the Money in the Bank is going to be for the titles. You're like, oh, fuck, Dolph's got to be in it. Even just for the bump factor.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I can't stand Alberto Del Rio.
And it's funny you mentioned Sin Cara. What do you think of the progression of the Cody Rhodes saying his brother needs a better partner push where he teams up with Sin Cara against Rybacksel?
Goldust just do this 4 years ago where he was trying to find a partner?
With Booker T?
No, but after that, someone was doing that thing where they were trying out tag team partners every week.
It sounds familiar. It sounds like it's
I
been
think
done
it was Goldust.
Was it Goldust? I'll look it up.
Yeah, but this is all going to build to Goldust going, I can't do it without you.
And you think that Cody's going to stay a babyface and they're going to?
I don't know that this might be the split they were looking for. But here's the problem: CM Punk's gone, Daniel Bryan's hurt. You already did the same thing with Seth Rollins. Now what are you going to do? You going to do it again?
Cody Rhodes should join the Shield.
That wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be bad.
Be badass. Got to grow some sort of facial hair though.
Put the Big Show in there.
Oh God, no!
him and Roman Reigns could do like a dual Superman.
You know
punch.
What? Until Big Show showed up on Raw last night, I completely forgot he existed.
Yeah, he'll do that.
Oh, what if they do something stupid like put Christian in the Shield?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, but Christian will be hurt in 2 weeks, and then he'll be back to square one. Don't get me wrong; I love Christian to death. I just think maybe he's contemplating retiring at this point.
Probably.
You know, every time he comes back, it's like one more, you know, he wants one more run, but then a week later, he's gone again.
I don't think he wants one more run. I think he just wants one more paycheck at this point.
I could see Christian against Chris Jericho, maybe Survivor Series as his blow-off match. I think that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
Kind of like they did with Jericho and what's his name? Lance Storm. Remember when Lance wrestled his last match at One Night Stand? Well, his alleged
last match. Yeah.
Something like that. Something bigger. You could send him off, you know, with an old friend.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What else?
But I digress.
What else?
Oh, we all digress.
What else happened on Raw?
Oh, how about the fucking Rusev promo?
Stupid. Waste of fucking time.
What? I don't understand.
I thought it was going to be birthday cake. Fucking Big E comes out and just smashes him, and that would have been
some kind of run-in would have made better sense.
But Big E jobbed clean at the pay-per-view. To the camp.
That was a... Yeah, we'll get to that.
But Mongolian clutch, whatever he calls it.
What else?
The accolade.
Batista quit Evolution. That's what opened the show.
What a gay fucking wave, that little fucking Princess Diana.
I thought he was playing up to the fucking crowd.
I thought it was
perfectly.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
But let me ask you.
It was too hammy for me. It was supposed to be this big dramatic moment. And he's just like, "Fuck you."
That was his way of doing this.
Was it just
giving
me
the fucking bird?
Was it just me, or did Batista have way more hair on Monday night than he did at Payback on his head?
His beard is awesome.
His beard is awesome, but I could have sworn
it's weird. He looks Joe Roganish.
He did. He had like more hair, but it was still thin. It was weird. Like it looked like he got whatever hair on his head just like implanted or something. It was fucking weird, man. I don't know. I just noticed that. I was like, where did Batista get all this fucking hair from on his head? Because I could have sworn at Payback he had like shaved head.
We did the Sandow thing. Bo Dallas, Kofi, we talked about. Bulldog was sloppy as fuck, too. Oof.
The Bulldog.
Bulldog.
Is that what they're calling it?
I think so. Stephanie McMahon comes out. She cuts a promo. Daniel Bryan versus Kane at Money in the Bank. If DB is healthy.
Let me buy you a brand.
If not, Money in the Bank for the titles. And yes. Then who has to fucking show up and play fucking superhero, save the day, fucking Mr. Good Guy? John Cena. I'm so... Like, it's just not necessary.
My time is now.
It's not necessary.
You can't see me. My time is now.
He comes out. He fucking puts over Daniel Bryan. The fucking crowd chants, "We want Cena. Cena sucks." Him and Stephanie are laughing about it. You know, he tells Stephanie she sucks at her job. And then she puts fucking John Cena in a match against Kane, which we haven't seen a fucking million times.
Yeah, whoop-de-damn-fucking-do on that one.
And then Kane gets the DQ because he won't stop throwing elbows.
I'm throwing elbows. Ring the alarm.
It
was dumb. Although I did kind of like that Kane sat up at the end. It's the monster Kane, bro.
Ugh, I can't.
It's gotta be Kane.
Can't. You know what? I'd rather watch Adam Rose than Kane.
Yeah.
Don't be a lemon.
Don't be a burn victim. Be a lemon.
Jesus.
Is
that Raw? I'm so tired of talking about Raw.
No, there's more. There's a couple more.
Oh, more drizzling shit things?
Okay, so the fucking Matadors beat Drew and Slater.
Again?
Yeah, because Torito, he won. He won the WLC match whatever the fuck.
They
shaved the fucking midget's head. So now the midget, they put a fucking afro wig on the midget. Could you just pick on him anymore?
Did he come out to Someone Call My Mama?
No, but he came out with this goddamn dumb afro on his fucking head. And then one of these fucking beaners ripped it off his head to distract Heath Slater. And then Slater gets rolled up for the loss.
Isn't it weird that they got a couple of Ricans playing beaners?
I can't believe this fucking feud is still going on.
I feel that way about Wyatt and Cena.
At least they're top of the card, and you get great matches out of them.
At least these guys are on the pre-show, and they're just like fucking around.
And how many times can you watch?
Would you rather have them doing this than Santino and Emma fucking playing pink sock with each other at the beginning of every pay-per-view?
Who are they pink socking against?
I'm take your pick. Alberto Del Rio.
Fandango,
there you go.
And Layla?
Whatever.
Well, it was Summer Rae at first.
Oh, that's been gone for a while. They didn't do like the...
Been gone for like a week.
Has it been only a week?
Yeah, I think they did something on Raw last week.
There's too much wrestling going on. I can't keep track.
I didn't understand the fucking 2-on-1 women's match.
Oh, it's because because Brie Bella quit. So they're going to punish Nikki.
So they punish Nikki.
Whatever. Eat the corn out of my shit, you fucking retards.
Oh, a matter of fact.
So that was Raw. It was a fucking... It was rough, dude.
A very few bright spots on the show.
Three.
They were good bright spots, but it's tough to sit through 3 hours for three good things. Well, maybe four. The two tag teams, Bautista at the beginning and Rollins at the end.
Yeah, that's four. Well,
there you go.
That's four.
But, I mean, what's that, like 40 minutes worth of airtime?
Come on, dude.
10 years ago,
actually
everything
hearing,
was a
actually
spot,
hearing the
about.
Russian national anthem not be stuttered and stammered, I was happy.
Ugh, I fucking really hate Rusev.
It was awful.
Such a racist. Awful, awful.
He's Bulgarian, but now he's Russian.
He's racist.
It's like Kofi Kingston is now from Ghana, even though he's got a Jamaican name.
Oh, they went over like all his accolades last night. Oh, God, what a fucking waste of shit.
Intercontinental champion, U.S. champion, tag champion.
Who?
Kofi.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, God.
SOS.
So I guess we'll work backwards.
Pay-per-view.
Payback. Here's the frustrating thing. Payback was such a good show.
That's what I said to Eddie.
That you thought going into Raw you were going to get more than four decent things.
Payback was a great show.
You thought wrong.
Because, I mean, outside of the Paige and Alicia Fox match and the Rybacksel thing, which I wasn't really a big fan of.
I do like the fact that the Rybacksel kind of look alike now.
Yeah, they actually decided to get matching gear. Almost. But I didn't think that was even that terrible either, because I think the match was pretty decent for what it was, set up out of nowhere. But
oh, and I could have done without the fucking Kofi Bo Kane thing.
Bo Kane. I said when Bo came to Kofi afterwards, I thought that was kind of funny. Like, we were just holding his hand saying,
it's just kind of annoying.
That's the idea.
Yeah, but you've already got somebody playing Waylon Mercy, and his name is Wyatt.
Yeah, but these people don't know who fucking Waylon Mercy is.
I thought it was cool that you thought that Bo Dallas was going to stand around and fight with Kofi Kingston when Kane came out, and then he just gets out of the ring. It's like, fuck you, cave chest.
Kofi's tits still have heat?
Bo leave.
Was there a Paige match on the pay-per-view?
Yeah,
Alicia Fox.
It wasn't terrible, was it? I seem to remember
it, but I don't like most women's wrestling, so.
Matt hates women.
Shield Evolution was awesome.
Yes.
And the only thing people talk about are fucking Dave Bautista wore blue. Are you fucking serious?
People like the shit on Bautista now.
Who gives a shit? I'm going to jump on the Eddie bandwagon. Bautista, 45 years old, comes back. In 4 months, he's worked more than Undertaker, Brock, and The Rock in the last two fucking years. If I can look like his leg at 45, I'll be fucking thrilled.
No, yeah. There's nothing I love more than him turning heel and joining Evolution.
He looks great in the ring. He works good.
He jobbed the last two. I mean, granted, he's not sticking around. That's what you're supposed to do. But he took the falls in both of the matches. I mean, he took the first fall this one, and I think he was one that got pinned at the last pay-per-view, if I'm not mistaken.
And he lost at Mania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? He can wear fucking orange and paint his dick blue. I don't give a shit.
I think he just
stole the Mets.
He stole the forearm guards from Sin Cara, I think. It's just a goofy outfit.
He's just trying to do the crossover with the MMA shit.
He's a douchebag hipster, though, when he dresses like that. He looks stupid.
I mean, I agree. When he dressed before he did the Evolution thing, he looked like a fucking tool bag. But his tweet was the greatest thing ever. It's like, six guys just tore down the house at Payback, and all these smarks can talk about is that I wore blue. Fucking, like, I'm like, you are 100% right, Bautista. Who gives a shit that you wore blue?
You look great.
Yeah.
If I can look anything like that at 45, if I make it to 45, I'll be fucking thrilled.
It's had the knock on wood there.
There you go. What else? Cena Wyatt was fucking awesome. A lot of people upset that fucking Cena won. Even the way he won was clever.
Yeah, considering that Cena's the guy that always gets fucked by stupid stipulations, he actually had one that he turned into his advantage, and I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine.
In this day and age, I don't think wins and losses matter.
I just think it was too much with like the Usos and the rest of the Wyatts having to get involved. I think it could have been just toned down just a little bit. Like, some of the big spots were just those four guys, you know?
Yeah, but that's what it is.
Protects your main talent.
No, fine. Hurt. I mean, would it have been better off if it was just all six of them involved?
No, but you need those rest spots for those guys.
Yeah, this is true. Like I said, it didn't really offend me. I just thought maybe they could have took it back a little bit.
And it's not like a random bolt. Like, it plays into the story. Like, now, the next night, you get the Usos against Rowan and Harper. And
yeah, it was just weird, though, that everybody disappeared for, like, 10 or 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden, they came back again. Like, you know?
I mean, it happens.
No, fine. Otherwise, perfectly acceptable. I enjoyed it.
When fucking Cena threw the stairs at Bray Wyatt?
Is it just me, or they've been using stairs a lot lately
as weapons
in the last, like, month?
They might, you know, I don't think those stairs are as heavy as they used to be. Don't get me wrong, they're probably heavy as shit. But yeah, they've been throwing around like fucking hotcakes lately.
Everyone's been using the stairs in one way or the other. I can't lie. I actually kind of fell asleep a little bit during the Cena Wyatt match, and that's just because I was tired, not because the match, no indication on the match. But then when I saw the stairs being used in the six-man, then I heard that stairs were used in the Bray Wyatt Cena match. I'm like, wow, they've been using stairs a lot as weapons.
An awful lot.
Kane using stairs. But I don't know. It's just something that I picked up on.
I really don't think that it devalues Bray Wyatt. I don't think it means anything if he loses.
Now, I read the reviews by the guys on the internet sites. Now, there was a spot where someone was knocked out, but the referee wasn't there to count him.
Oh, it was Wyatt. Wyatt was down at one point.
Okay, and the ref wasn't around.
Well, the ref was tied up doing something with, like, Rowan and Harper, or something else was going on where he was, like, not paying attention to it. It's your typical, like, heel shit, though, you know?
Okay.
But, you know, another thing a lot of people were bitching about was the ending to Cesaro and Sheamus.
The small package?
I liked it.
I thought that was great.
I did too. It was out of the blue, and it happens all the time.
Get caught slipping.
Yeah. Oh, this is my favorite line on fucking Facebook. Oh, you just shit the giant swing in one fucking small package.
No, you don't. All it does is make you dizzy. It doesn't, like, hurt you.
It makes both guys dizzy.
Yeah. So if
I don't know. I thought it was a great match. I think those two beating the hell out of each other was awesome.
I think I said it last week. I really like that they're putting a little extra emphasis on the lesser titles.
Yeah, you got two really solid mid-card, upper-level mid-card feuds right now for the U.S. and the Intercontinental Championship.
I just think that they need to get rid of that U.S. belt. It's old. It doesn't match. Like, it's got to go.
Yeah, I'd like to see them just unify it.
Not even unify, but
have a match, and then, like, if Barrett wins, then it's the IC champion, right. And if Sheamus wins, then
they can't. They got to keep the IC belt, dude.
Right. Well, Barrett would win,
but no, just the US belt itself. Like I've said it before, they should go back to the old WCW belt, which kind of looks like the Intercontinental belt. You know,
right?
Put them on par with each other with the same look, because the US belt's just so cartoony looking. It really, look, I'm not saying all the other belts are great.
All the tag team belts are the worst.
They're the shits.
Yeah, they suck.
But at least they look like belts. They don't have like this big cartoony flag on them, you know?
They just got big pennies.
And you know, it's weird. I don't like Sheamus, but like...
No, Sheamus is fine.
He always has like good matches. Like he had a run with a ADR where they had great matches over the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with Sheamus and I have no problem if one day he's back in the main event. That doesn't bother me if they change it up a little bit.
Fella.
I have no problem with Sheamus.
Here's a what if. What if both belts are hanging for Money in the Bank and two guys go up and two guys each grab a belt?
Are you talking about like if they do title? The vacated?
If they do the WWE World Championship on the actual cable, whatever they call it.
Maybe if they do it, they'll finally just make it one belt, and there won't be two up there.
Ooh, and it's a new belt, and it's the new network logo.
So, yeah, and this is what I was thinking, because when Stephanie said that we're going to have a new champion if Daniel Bryan can't be at Money in the Bank, she would come out with her new belt, Daniel Bryan would have his old belts, and then whoever wins that, John Cena, whatever, whoever wins that, fights Daniel Bryan for the...
Like an interim championship?
Like UFC.
See, that's what they should do all along. If they really want to modernize the product, have an interim champion.
Yeah, right. and then have a unifying match once the champion is ready to return and healthy.
I can dig that. I like that idea, actually.
But I think they always kept the two belts just in case they ever had a reason to want to split them again. So that's why I never think that they... And plus, they just made that other belt.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, too, is like two guys grab the belts, and one guy grabs the world belt, and the other guy grabs the WWE belt.
So then you have a triple threat match with Daniel Bryan and those two assholes.
There you go.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Rusev, Big E.
Good match.
It was actually a good match.
They just look like dicks waving these flags around. Like, nobody took any care in waving the flag. Like, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but Fucking Biggie, it looked like he was swatting fucking bees away from himself.
He did look weird. I'm not going to lie.
It was fucking awful.
I don't know who taught them how to, like, wave a flag.
I mean, haven't they ever watched, like, flag matches? Like, Jesus Christ, Corporal Kirshner knew how to wave a flag, for Christ's sake.
They were just, like, making one, like, large step and with the wave and then stepping. And
it just, like they were doing fucking karate moves to the sky.
Yeah, that's basically what it looked like. You're right. But after that, the match I thought was really good.
It was two people. Yeah, I like the match. Each other.
For the amount of time they had and the fact that they're two big boys, I mean, they did well. No complaints on this end.
Dude, that spear through the ropes to Rusev on the floor was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, and that's when, that was right after I noticed this. They were chanting, "We want Ziggler." That spot happens. They never chanted anything else for the rest of that match because they were hooked in on the match. And I thought the match was really good. So.
Yeah, I liked it. Did we talk Ryback's Brotherhood?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Barrett RVD.
Solid match.
Another good match.
Yeah.
RVD left Wade Barrett with a nice little souvenir.
Yeah.
A shiner.
Shiner. Racist.
It's a black eye turn.
What?
As black I say, eye black turn? Eye
turn. But I mean, overall, Payback probably. Up there for this year's, you know, right after Mania, because Mania was a great card too.
Oh, I would not put this near Mania, but how could
you? I would put it up there with Mania, not above Mania, below.
Below, yeah, sure.
Below, but it's up there. I mean, Royal Rumble
sucks.
Wasn't anything to write home about. Elimination Chamber, nothing to write home about.
I honestly don't remember Elimination Chamber.
What was after Mania? Extreme Rules?
Couldn't tell you anything about it.
It all just melds together.
It all melts together now. It really does.
I'm going to go take a leak really fast and get another tea.
Can you grab me something while you're up?
Yeah. Do you want one too?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk NXT? Did you watch TakeOver?
I didn't see TakeOver. I can't comment on it. If you guys did.
I saw a lot of TakeOver.
Well, we could talk about something else while you go piss.
All right, go ahead. I got to pee.
There's one news bite. I know a lot of people have been curious as to how WrestleMania did. And a matter of fact, WWE actually released some early numbers today. Well, I don't know if they're going to be final, but that's why I'm calling them early. Apparently, WrestleMania 30 did 350,000 buys domestically and 340,000 buys internationally.
And that's pay-per-view.
That's pay-per-view. That's pay-per-view
only. That's
people
that don't have the network and shelled out the cash.
Yeah, so that's, what are we looking at? That's about 740, 750 buys, something like that.
It's easily
700.
Right.
But the thing is, they're saying that the international buys were down over 120,000 buys.
See, that's bizarre to me.
Well, here's
the
thing.
The network's not international yet.
Yeah, you would think, right?
It would be more.
But I'm sure there are a lot of people who maybe make their residence in, like, oh, I don't know, Detroit, as opposed to whatever town is over the river in Canada.
Right.
There's ways around it. So they're thinking, like, maybe there's a lot more people internationally that already have the network than nobody, because nobody should really have it outside the U.S. Which makes people wonder, because there's been less than 700,000 buys for the network. Like, they haven't reached a million yet. They're not close.
Right. Okay.
And that number doesn't even account for all of America.
I have it up.
Okay.
I have the numbers up. I don't know if you have them, but the numbers that PW Insider has, they did, I guess, total 690,000 buys.
Okay, yeah.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
Pay-per-view. So that's domestic and international, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And then you add on what they have, what they're releasing as 667,000 people using the WWE network as well.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if that is, if I don't know if that was their total subscriber number or if that's the amount of people that watched WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the total subscriber.
Because you can't assume that everyone on the network is watching WrestleMania.
It's possible that they watched it. I don't know if they all watched it at that point. Because, you know, the beautiful thing about the network is if you can't get there for 7 o'clock, you could always watch it later on.
I watched Payback yesterday afternoon.
Exactly. So I think what they're thinking is eventually if you have the network, you're watching whichever one you don't want. I want to try this. All right, yeah, give me the
talking second. About which drink we want to have.
If you have the network, the assumption is that you're going to watch the pay-per-view even if you don't watch it that night. So they're assuming that potentially 1.35 million people by either pay-per-view or owning the network have seen the show.
Which is a tremendous number.
Yeah, and considering the fact that these are individuals and you don't know how many people were over people's houses and whatnot, that's still a pretty big number, even though the money cut is different, like significantly different now.
And then which is surprising is that the stock went down after that was, I don't know if it went down after that release, but the stock was down 13 cents as reported today.
It's going to be a slow build. I mean, this happens with companies all the time. Not everybody's Apple, you know, not everybody's right. Microsoft, not everybody's IBM. Things aren't going to be fucking, you know, great every single day.
And it still boggles my mind. I still see people online. Where can I watch the pay-per-view for free, live streaming? Where can I do this for free? I'm like, dude, get the network.
Look, I don't care if you own a VHS copy of every single fucking WWF, NWA, WCW, Mid-South, Memphis, World Class. I don't care if you own every fucking tape in existence. If you're not paying the $10 to get everything else they offer, you know, the roundtable shows, yeah. Legends House, the top tens, the fucking countdown.
Listen, how many people have the original the Clash of Champions on tape? I guarantee you less than, I'll say, 5,000 people have, if that, the
yeah.
original
and
Clash of Champions.
Some of those tapes don't even have everything
yeah.
on them.
And dude, especially the libraries that they might acquire, like they might, I read that they're starting to get work with Memphis to get their tapes.
Yeah, but Memphis is fucking splintered. Memphis is in bad shape.
But, yeah, but whatever. And then, you know, the Carlos, not Car- yeah, Carlos.
Yeah, Carlos Colon. Yeah, yeah.
And it's so worth it.
You take a look in the old PWI magazines or Wrestler or Insider. They used to sell the old, like, Jim Crockett NWA tapes. And when those tapes were released, they had fucking price tags of like $80, $90, $100, some right. of them. That's how the market was priced. Everything was priced for rentals back then. So unless you had two VCRs and copied these things, it's very odd that somebody would actually own one of these fucking tapes.
So, my buddy, the specific guy, was like, Kev, do you know any, you know, streaming sites? I'm like, dude, the network. And he's like, I'm not paying for wrestling.
Ugh, then why are you watching?
I'm like, you get, if you're a fan of it, you get so much for it. He's like, yeah, but if I can just watch the pay-per-views now for free, I'm like, all right, well then get viruses on your computer. Go for it. I would just get the network and let WrestleMania pay for the network.
Here's an aside. I had a virus on this MacBook, which it fucking like shocked the shit out of me. It's like, how does a Mac get a virus? Living proof right here. Every fucking site I went to, whether it was Amazon, I mean like wholesome sites, these nasty fucking porno ads were coming up. I said, geez, I found some software and actually got rid of everything.
All right, I might need to use that. Might have to.
It was atrocious, dude. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'd go on, like, your regular, like, regular .coms, shit yeah. that would be secure, and all the fucking ad choices and Google ads were getting swamped by all this fucking awful advertising.
That's why, like, I had my old laptop, which is slow as shit, but I would just use it for porn. But the monitor like completely fizzled out, so I had no porn. So I started using this one for porn. So I'm kind of nervous now that it might be going nuts. But here's something: the Raw number jumped over 500,000 viewers from last week.
So let's put that on Seth Rollins.
Let's see the hours. Hour three.
I think coming off of the strong showing of Payback. I mean, first half an hour between the Evolution breakup and the tag team match.
Here you go. I'm sorry. This is the negative thing. The only negative is that they lost over 400,000 viewers from hour two to hour three. So not as many people saw the Rollins thing as they lost viewers going into hour three. They lost 400,000 viewers, but overall,
yeah, but
hour
three is 10 to 11.
Yeah, and that's when the Rollins thing happened.
Yeah, but that happened at the end.
But the
you
way
said they lost. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got yeah, you. Sorry.
Yeah. So, like, hour one did 5,400,000 views. Hour two shot up to 6,300 so odd views, and then it went back down to 600 million. I can't.
I know I'm going to open a can of worms with this because everybody like is like, oh, the ratings, especially with TNA, like the rating was a 0.88 and the rating was a point, you know, like 9.5. You know that they're not getting a million. I don't know how much I trust the ratings. It's all still by the book. It's like, it may be automatic now, but like if one person with one of the boxes changes the channel, like how much does that skew the numbers? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, but this is just done, the PW Insider just does it by viewers. Average, they do it by the audience. They don't even put up the Nelson or Nielsen rating anymore. They just go
that's
by
what I couldn't think of.
Viewers. So, I mean, that's good news for WWE. Payback was a strong show. The WrestleMania numbers was great. They jumped up over a half million viewers.
Yes, average. The WrestleMania numbers were great. I just wonder what that transfers into monetary, you know, money-wise.
Yeah, because of the network.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. We went off on a major thing. Oh, it's because you had to pee.
So, how was your piss?
It was good, thank you.
Oh, you haven't tried your black raspberry lemonade yet?
I'm working towards it.
They're actually
very
tasty. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
We used to have these at the hat.
Now, I didn't see the NXT TakeOver, so if you guys want to talk about it, I'm all ears.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good show. Nothing to dive super deep into.
Like a puss.
The Adrian Neville baby, match. Listen to this. Oh wait, no, sorry. Is it Adrian?
Yeah, it's Adrian.
Oh damn, I got it right.
The Aaron Neville match, guys.
The Aaron Neville Tyson Kidd match.
I just watched that while we were talking before.
That's why. Awesome.
Yeah, really good.
Awesome. And did I read somewhere?
Yes.
That they're gonna put a fucking mask on Tyson Kidd.
Eddie said that, but Eddie said that it was he just heard a rumor.
Okay.
So who knows what that means?
Yeah. So, man, fucking Aaron Neville. What a
yo,
voice.
he could get laid even with that thing on his face.
Come suck with that Jillian Hall.
I think I might be wet. Is that even possible,
ladies?
Maybe you got swamp ass.
That's a possibility. That was a fucking awesome match. Charlotte over Natalia to claim the new NXT Women's Champion. It was cool seeing Rick and Brett, Flair.
Woo!
And Hart, respectively, at the ringside.
Brett's still looking like a lesbian these days?
Actually, yes. Wow. Oh,
poor fella.
We'll be seeing him on Saturday.
What?
No, here's like...
The poor guy survived a stroke and he's from Canada. He's got two strikes against him.
No, he's got two strokes against him.
But like, I don't... I don't want to remember. Like, that's my thing. Like, Ric Flair being on TV, he looks like a fucking melted candle.
He looks like a Sharpay.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to see Bret Hart with his fucking, like, droopy face looking like a lesbian. Like, I don't want to see Hulk Hogan with his, like, badly, like, tan fucking steroid tits. Like,
you got to admit, out of everybody, Hogan still looks pretty damn good.
I think they, I mean, other than Brett, because, you know, even though even he doesn't look...
I think Ric Flair looks fucking awful.
He's
atrocious. I don't think he looked bad at NXT.
You know who looks great? Tony fucking Atlas still looks like a million bucks.
Nah, not really so much up close in person, but...
No, but what I'm saying is, like you watch Legends House. He's the only guy there that look... Well, maybe Hillbilly Jim doesn't look terrible.
No, Hillbilly Jim definitely doesn't
Hillbilly
look
Jim
terrible.
Looks much better than Tony Atlas.
I don't know, but Tony Atlas is still big. You figure at this point he would be, like, droopy like pop balloons.
I mean,
yeah, we saw him at the Epstein show, and he actually still looked in pretty. I mean, he couldn't really move a whole lot, but he looked in. He still looked.
I
big.
Mean, he still got the saggy titties, but
I
know.
Still think Hillbilly Jim's a big guy. I met him.
Oh,
like,
he looks
couple
great
years
too.
Ago.
He's don't get me wrong,
moose.
But Hillbilly Jim never had the Tony Atlas body. Not saying that he was in bad
dude,
shape.
He was jacked, man.
He was Jim. Big. You're right. Well, then again, it was maybe the overalls that
it was
he
the overalls
had
that hit it. But dude, his traps when he would go like his traps, his pecs, his
oh, that
shoulders.
Fucking move that he does where he sticks. He still does that shit.
Dude, he was a monster, man.
This is true. This is true. Much better looking than Hogan, though. By the way, I think.
Yeah,
I don't. I just think like once you get to a certain age, like
you have to stop.
Dude, Harley Race did it for years.
Bro, Harley Race looks. He was on the New Japan.
is he still
Kingdom? He was part of the NWA. It was the saddest thing ever.
I'm even talking about after his career was over and he was like managing Vader and Steve Austin.
He looked good.
I mean, I don't think Flair looks terrible.
I think Flair looks awful.
I don't think so.
He's pruned up. That's his problem.
That's a life of partying.
It's the hair, too. I mean, if he wasn't greasing his hair back all the time.
Well, he has to because he's losing it in the back.
The fucking Tales from the Crypt hair? Jesus Christ. It's like the fucking Crypt Keeper up there.
Not everyone can wear a bandana like the Hulkster.
And this is true.
I thought that was a shot at me.
What? Can you wear a bandana?
I've been wearing a bandana lately.
Why? You been going? You getting light?
No. I mean, someone said I'm getting light up top here.
I'm getting there, dude.
I just wear it because
then again, I'm 40.
It's easier for me to work
with. I've got quite
a
few years on you.
That's what I assumed. You wear a bandana that hides the sweat, keeps the sweat locked in.
Yeah, so does the hat.
Yeah, but...
You could wash a bandana, though. Like,
yeah, and the hats just smell.
This hat probably smells like fucking cat piss.
That's just
because... Whatever you're into.
Yeah.
So whatever works. So anyway, TakeOver. Tyler Breeze, Sami Zayn.
A lot of cool spots. Didn't they mess up a little bit, though?
They messed up one spot.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be picky, but for some reason, that's what sticks out. But they had a lot of great spots in that match. Whatever
then, the rest of the card was kind of like, Adam Rose over Camacho was...
That was the opener.
Wait, yeah. Camacho is Sin Cara?
Haku's son. Hunico is Sin Cara.
Oh, okay.
Camacho is Haku.
Yeah, he was on the bike. Riding the bike, right?
Yeah. So I don't really watch NXT, but I did watch TakeOver, so I don't know. I guess that was an opening job.
Yeah, that was the opening. And then the Ascension defended the tag titles against
Kalisto and El Loco. Good match. I love the Ascension.
I have to check these guys out.
They're good.
They're real good.
They're good. It's only a matter of time before they grace the...
And they're jobbing to El Torito.
The main rooster.
Yeah, here comes the rooster.
And then what did we have?
Yeah. Well, that was it. That was TakeOver. TakeOver.
What was that? No, you had Rusev, Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, that was just like a fucking flag.
That
thing,
was basically
Rusev beat him up.
That was Big E Langston. That was like the preview to Big E versus Mojo with the flag waving. I really think they have someone teaching these idiots how to wave a flag wrong because Mojo Rawley waved it the exact same way and couldn't get the flag unraveled.
Idiots.
Yeah.
It's a lost art form, the flag match.
Yeah, exactly, guys. Study your tape.
Can the Sergeant Slaughter come back and teach him how to wave the flag? What the fuck?
I want my country. Wait, come back. Isn't he still hanging around in the back? Isn't he still around?
Might be.
He's still an agent, I thought.
Is he?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about him leaving or getting fired.
I don't think he is. You never see him come out anymore. And
well, if they have a fucking Raw flashback, he'll be back.
Yeah.
Could it be him, Duggan, DiBiase, IRS, Ricky Steamboat?
Arn Anderson, Ted DiBiase. And there's your...
And then everybody in Legends House.
Yep.
Damn! I watched Impact.
That's all you, man. I didn't get to it this
3 weeks in a row.
Okay.
Oh, God. All right. I'm not going to make it long because things just don't compute in my brain. Bully Ray comes out and he cuts a great promo. He's got all these tables lined up and all these tables have the names of the people he wants to put through tables.
Oh, kind of like The Undertaker with all his coffins.
Yes.
But at least this leads to something because he's not talking about people that he put through tables.
Right.
He's talking about people he wants to.
Here's the problem.
Uh-oh.
The Impact Zone.
Can I cut you off?
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Watching TakeOver, which is almost the same sort of deal, same studio setup, their crowd did not keep quiet 1 second in that entire show.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me cut you off. Isn't this at a real university?
Yeah, Full Sail.
Full Sail University.
Okay. So these are like probably all horny, retarded college kids that are all into wrestling, right?
Possibly, I didn't gauge.
They're wrestling. They're wrestling fans.
Okay, as opposed to Impact, where it's like, hey, you guys are at Universal Studios. You want to see some pro wrestling?
They probably had like barkers at the arena handing out cards or tickets.
Hear ye, hear ye.
So Bully Ray is doing this promo, right? He goes, I'm gonna put Rockstar Spud through a table, and I'm gonna put EC3. And he points to the crowd, and you hear this.
Through a table.
Just one guy.
Like a handful. Like a handful. It's so painful to watch, because he's like, I'm going to put MVP, and he points, and you hear like five people.
Through a table.
And I'm just sitting
here. I'm going to put Bobby Lashley through a table. Did that get picked up?
No, you're fine. You're good.
I'm going to put Bobby Lashley through the table. Mom, how's the line at the bathroom?
Awful.
Hot dogs
I was
here.
So awkward.
Cracker Jacks.
Sitting on, and Bully Ray is trying. He's trying so hard to get this great promo over. And it's just crickets.
You know what would be great for Impact? One episode where they just like, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck Universal and fuck all of you, and they just walk off.
Shakara style?
Yes, and they just let, and they do it in the middle of the show, and they just let the cameras run. They go to commercial, they come back. They go to commercial, they come back. Just leave it completely quiet.
So you just, you're watching.
So
nothing.
It's pretty much
just
like
as an
Impact.
Awful social experiment to see what happens.
As long as you admit that it's awful.
And to see what their rating is, whether or not they're actually drawing people or if people actually turn away.
Or to see
if it's like, yo, put on Impact, there's nobody there.
And just see when
and just
they
see
come
what
back.
Happens. Would there, like, that would be fucking sick.
I don't know. I can't think that just watching an empty ring for.
Or no, they show the crew come out, they start taking it down.
Oh.
Like you overhear somebody off camera going, so that's it, we're done?
So you hear like the wrestlers kind of shooting, like
work No, not shooting.
Shooting,
but like somebody just happens to walk by a microphone. Like nothing planned, just leave the mics on.
I can see, I mean, if you have to do a little more than that.
You don't think?
No, I think that's the one of the
worst. Just to fucking see what happens.
I think that he's onto something.
There
it's
you
just,
go, thank
it's,
you,
it's,
Kevin.
It's just kind of like... When I don't know if you guys watched Seinfeld, where they pitched the idea to the show about the show about nothing on the episode of Seinfeld, and George Costanza is literally like, "No, nothing happens. Something's got to happen." But like, you're onto something where I think like you see like a heel and a face talking to each other, like on camera. You see, like, remember that episode of Nitro when all it was the NW people, the NW beat the crap out of Buff Bagwell and Mysterio and all
oh,
those guys backstage.
Over, right? Yeah.
And but the whole like 45 minutes of the show was just the medical crew looking after those guys. That if you're talking about something like that, that was my favorite episode of Night Show of all time.
Dixie comes out.
Oh, you and the fucking Dixie.
I'm just saying it could
but
be
not
anybody.
In character though. She Dixie's comes, not in character.
She just comes out and she looks around. She's like, "Well, we tried." Or something like that.
All right, so now you're getting you gotta make something
no, but,
has to happen.
But you know what I'm saying? Like just like throw something out there.
Like I see,
like
I
make Bully Ray be the guy. Like, you know what? We came here every week. We kill ourselves for you guys. This is the thanks we get. You're unappreciative. You suck. Fuck you. We're leaving, and that's it.
I think you're onto something.
Drop the mic. He walks off, and all of a sudden, Mike Tenay's like, "What the fuck?"
But
and then next thing you know, the big lights go on.
But you still have to have a reason for people to watch it, and I think you still have to have the talent on. It's like even if you see a guy walking with his bag out, or if you see Bully Ray actually talking to MVP and be like, "Dude, I don't know what the fuck just happened," like this, like that sort of deal.
Yeah, they cut to the back, and they were supposed to like say they were supposed to tape like MVP having a meeting with his brothers, you know. And all of a sudden, he's like, "Yo, is he for real?" And they're like, and then they, all of a sudden, a bunch of other people start walking by. Yeah. And like, say, like James Storm looks in. He's like, "What are you guys doing? We're hitting the road."
You got to have the talent still there.
Yeah, and he walks by,
capacity.
And the four of them are like, and the cameraman just goes, "I guess I'm done." He puts the camera down on the table and he leaves. And now this camera's there. Yes!
That's a good
idea. Holy shit, yes. We're booking Impact. This is awesome.
That's actually not a bad idea.
It might actually work.
Yes! Three wizards on board.
Yeah, it's a far cry from what you initially said. But
yeah,
but we worked it.
Kevin had to work at it to get it. But, I mean,
all right, but
what you just described, the last 3 weeks of Impact, it's just inane drivel, just constant. Bully Ray comes out to cut this promo, and then here comes MVP and Kenny King and Bobby Lashley. And
the Brotherhood.
EC3 and Spud jump Bully Ray from behind, and they take him out, and then it's a beatdown, and then the Wolves and Aries make the save, and then they put Spud through the table that has Spud's name on it, and it's like, oh, why are they trying to piece together all these stories? And you're like, okay, maybe that's just it. But then they come back from commercial break, and now there's a six-man tag match, and it's MVP and Lashley and Kenny King against the Wolves and Aries. Great, they beat them. All right. Let's. There's other guys in TNA, right? Come on, let's move it on. So then they bring you Bram and Magnus. Bram's gonna take on Tigre Uno.
Wait, why?
Is he the X Division champion?
No. Who's but he just had a champion? Feud with Sonata, who is the X Division champion. So Bram comes in, and Bram fucking squashes Tigre Uno.
What's the point of that?
I don't know. They couldn't find a local kid for him to beat up. Like, yeah. They brought in local kids for the briefcase things.
They've had 10,000 people apply through the fucking gut check. They don't have a resume on hand.
It's bad enough they're not showcasing the X Division guys as much as they should be.
I feel
be.
Like they have. I mean, I've watched one episode of Impact in the last month. I don't remember anything about the X Division.
Did they ever do anything with the Television Legends belt? Is that still in existence?
No, I don't think that's there.
No. Hold on. I think there was an X Division match last week.
An X Division match, but that's...
All right, while he's looking...
If it's not the belt, then it's not an X Division... Like, it's just a match.
No, it was for the title.
Oh, okay.
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
At Legends this week, Rosita and Sarita are going to be there.
There you go.
I want that picture.
Attaboy.
I kind of missed them.
So Bram beats...
They're like the Puerto Rican Bellas.
Can I just get through this
Impact,
sorry,
go ahead.
Please?
Wait, aren't the Bellas Rican?
I don't know. Let me get through this stupid Impact. So fucking Bram beats Uno and then continues to beat him down, and Magnus stops him because who knows why. Because Magnus doesn't want to be part of the dark side. And Bram wants to be an evil...
Wait, he doesn't want to join MVP's stable?
Yeah, he doesn't want to be part of the stable... And then Magnus apparently has the power to make a match.
What is he, He-Man?
You can fight Willow next week.
Willow!
Apparently, according to Impact's page, Abyss still has the television championship.
Has he
been on TV?
He also has a dick up his ass, apparently.
Ooh.
Allegedly. I'm sorry. No, he hasn't been on TV in weeks since the last pay-per-view. And then Gunnar and Mr. Anderson are a tag team.
Oh, Lottie friggin' do.
All of a sudden. Why? I don't know. They beat the Bromans, and then...
Established team.
And then out comes the Menagerie.
Now, who the fuck is this?
It's Crazy Steve.
Nux.
Who's Crazy Nux. Steve?
Who's Crazy Steve? What are you, fucking living in a cave?
Yes! I haven't watched Impact in weeks.
Crazy Steve. The Menagerie's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. I dig the Menagerie.
All right. No, if it's cool, I'm all right.
Nux. Rebel, who's just abroad with these fucking amazing cans.
ODB?
No, she's not. Her name's Rebel.
I thought maybe like they changed.
No, they didn't repackage ODB.
I remember hearing who it was.
Rob Terry is now the freak. And
oh, I know who it is. Rebel is. She was like Christy Hemme booked her because like she used to be a dancer for a basketball team or something. And Christy Hemme is now on creative. Wanted to put a female with them, so she got her friend.
I like her. She's nice.
I'm pretty sure that's the story.
So Crazy Steve is like a clown, and he like elbow drops balloons. Nux is the ringleader, and he just wants to get the carnival out on the road to make some money. Save the family. Rob Terry is the freak, and he wears like a creepy mask. So they come down. They throw fucking Zima Ion out, and that's your Menagerie.
Are they baby faces, or are they good guys or bad guys?
I don't know what they are. They beat up Kazarian like 2 weeks ago.
See, that's the one thing that I actually kind of was looking forward to, because when you get stuff like that's new like that, that's kind of out of nowhere, that piques my interest. Like, we kind of made fun of it, like, oh, it's just like the Wyatts, but is it not like the Wyatts?
No.
Okay,
they're like a carnival. They come out with dudes on stilts. I actually like the Menagerie.
All right, see, that's something that I would watch.
And then they go to commercial, and then some little hooker's running around. She wants a tag team partner to beat up the beautiful people.
Yeah.
And then, here we go, more Dixie Carter EC3 MVP bullshit.
Well, wait. But you were talking this whole time. This is the first time Dixie came up.
Dixie was in the opener.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Dixie Carter and EC3 and MVP. They have to finish their conversation from last week. And then there's a fucking promo, and then... Eric Young and Bully Ray come out, and then Dixie and them make Eric Young against Bully Ray a match. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Again.
And Eric Young has to play like the comedy champion. Like, they say something to him, and then he tries to get in the ring, and then Bully Ray pulls him down, and then they say something to Bully, and Bully tries to get in the ring, and then Eric Young like pulls Bully down and like, oh, you just said not to get ahead of yourself 2 minutes ago. And it's like, ugh, come on. Knock it off. And then they spent so much time on this fucking beautiful people against Gail Kim and Brittany, because Brittany is like infatuated with Madison Rayne.
Who the fuck is Brittany?
She's some indie broad that they gave a TNA contract to. Gotcha. And then Brittany is obsessed with Madison Rayne, and she wants to be with
Brittany's
her.
Brittany's not cheerleader Melissa, is it?
No.
Somebody else?
Somebody else.
It's just stupid. It's fucking stupid. They wasted so much time on the beautiful people, Gail Kim, Brittany, Madison Rain nonsense. The only highlight, in my opinion, and anyone else can argue with me, and it's sad because I kind of forgot he was still in TNA, Eric Young and Bully Ray have their match with Eric, EC3. Ethan Carter III is the special guest referee. So you already know this is going to be full of fucking run-ins and nonsense.
Right.
You know, which seems to be the fucking the staple of fucking Impact. Think about it. Before, when Magnus was the champ, it was fucking run-ins and bullshit. Now we got more run-ins and bullshit. Every fucking week, it's the same shit. Let's cram all these shitty storylines into a fucking show. Last week, I was like, this is what I like about Impact. I have hope for this. This week, I want to throw my fucking TV in the middle of Baldwin Road and run over it with my fucking car.
Holy shit.
So, fucking, here we go. Oh, EY and Bully with a match, and then EC3 shenanigans, and then here comes the fucking Nation of Retardation and fucking Spud and Dixie, and it's a beatdown, and who makes the save? Samoa Joe.
Cool.
Totally forgot he was fucking in TNA.
Did he pull a knife on anyone?
He comes down, he beats everybody up, he has a stare down with MVP. The irony of it is MVP stares him back. Then, because this has been taped for weeks, MVP does a show over in the fucking England, and blows he fucking hurts himself. He might not even be available for a Slammiversary pay-per-view.
Blows his knee out.
Whoops.
I really want Impact to do well. I really want it. Like, there's things I like. This last week, like, this show was just painful. Too much talking. You don't have to talk every week and have multiple segments with the same people to tell me a story. I'm not the brightest person in the world, but I can get a story with some actions and a lot less talking.
Do you think Impact would do well if they cut it back to an hour?
No.
Two hours is fine.
It's not... 2 hours is good, but
they can pack so much more wrestling in there. They really can.
They don't need... You had fucking Bully Ray and Dixie and EC3 and MVP all, like, in multiple segments. I get it. They're the focal point, but fucking hey.
Yeah.
Like, enough. It's not even, like, riveting. It's not like Austin McMahon or Austin and The Rock. Like, it's not... You're not like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens. You're like, I can't believe these people are on the fucking TV screen again.
Was Bobby Roode on Impact?
No.
Bobby Roode.
No Bobby Roode.
I'm looking through the...
No James Storm.
Sammy Shaw?
No Sammy Shaw. Sammy Shaw is still in the crazy house. Mr. Anderson
Thank
wants to
God,
know...
Thank God, I hated that fucking
Mr.
gimmick.
Anderson wants to I know why
he's... I hate that gimmick, that storyline, that character,
I liked
everything.
His character. I thought he has... I think he has a great look, and I think he could be somebody. What
just
about
the execution of that was just so dumb. I don't want to beat a dead horse.
Like, well, they have, like,
Manic is coming back apparently.
I hope. Please.
Loki should be there soon.
Yeah.
But I'll take Loki.
It'll at least up still the in-ring game, man. Which I can't say that I've seen, so I don't know. Is the in-ring stuff other than the run-ins good?
The wrestling isn't bad.
Okay.
But that's like
When what you have to say is the wrestling isn't bad, like, that's the good thing you say about it. It's not good.
Because well, right. I can't get over the same fucking people.
But I can gut through a terrible show if what I'm watching in the ring is okay. Like, if I don't like what I'm seeing wrestling and the storylines are all convoluted and shitty, then I just won't watch the show. But if I'm getting at least a halfway decent in-ring product... I can gut through and put mute on when fucking Dixie Snatch comes out.
It's rough. Like, it's so rough.
So
you guys are going to come here one night, and I'm going to be like, I have a surprise guest. And when I click on the Skype, she's going to go, hi, boys.
No, dude, I think she's hot. Don't get me wrong. I think that she has a place there. Listen, if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be able to trash TNA every week.
I don't want to trash it. They have such talented people. They're just not putting them... Listen,
it's kind of like at some point, if you're not going to do your best to improve what you're doing, who the fuck are we? I'm not going to keep trying to defend you every week. One of these days, I'm just going to fucking leave you on the fucking side of the road. Like,
So then what do you say to people who turn around and go, yeah, but WWE has shit on every week and yet you still watch them?
Yeah, but WWE has the storylines, while some of their stuff, like I talked to Eddie about this, the only things I don't enjoy about WWE right now or is what they're doing on the shit that doesn't even matter anyway. Granted, like the 3MB stuff and Bo Dallas stuff, the stuff that they're pushing is great. The Evolution, Shield, the Bray Wyatt, John Cena. I like the Adam Rose character. I love the two feuds they have with Cesaro, Van Damme, Wade Barrett, and Sheamus. I think like the Usos, I think, are doing great. I think the other Wyatts, Harper and Rowan, are great. So I think in WWE, believe it or not, despite how shitty some of the stuff is, there's a place in wrestling for filler. They're always going to have filler. And I think WWE has been the best it's been. I mean, granted, minus a few blank spots in last night's Raw, I think it's been far and above awesome since WrestleMania.
I can agree with that. It's been a better product. It hasn't been the best.
No, nothing's ever going to be perfect, especially when you're catering to the PG audience. You're going to have goofy shit. You're going to have stupid storylines like a fucking midget bull losing his tail. You're going to have it. But if you just appreciate it for what it is, you can't appreciate something for what it is if it's so goddamn awful.
And WWE's done goofy shit for its entire existence.
Exactly. Vince McMahon gets a chuckle. He's got like fucking vaudeville humor. So
I miss the old shows where like fucking Sal Bellomo was making pizza and Ivan Putski had like Polish women and they were doing the polka and the Iron Sheik brings in Claude, his camel, and fucking was introducing and the Samoans are making like fish head stew and shit like that. There's always a place for goofy shit, you know?
Would you like 15 minutes of your time not being devoted to 3MB and the Matadors and given to guys like Tyson Kidd and Evan Bourne and stuff like that? Yeah, you would, but you're not going to get everything you want when watching, you know, the 3 hours of a show.
Sometimes, three-man band, Matadors,
they're awesome.
I'm all for
it. Absolutely.
Other times, I would like to see Tyson Kidd go out there and take on Evan Bourne for 10 or 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, I think WWE is far and above, especially now with the network where not only can I watch WWE, I can watch NXT, which a lot of people are saying is the best thing about wrestling today in the mainstream.
Fair enough.
So
that was Impact, huh?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'll go and I'll watch it again Thursday night, but it's...
You know what? I'm going to try to watch it Thursday.
The last episode...
I really
episode
need to try
really,
watching it.
Thursday is, you know, is Kevin Grifo and Mick Foley.
There you go. That's true.
So...
Dave Megapowers will be there.
He will be there. Fucking guy.
Can we talk about that real quick?
Can we tell
that story?
Why don't we take a break and then come back and talk about it and close up? Or
yeah, we can take a break and then close up. Sure,
it's fine.
All right,
we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're gonna miss a great story.
This is Mike Norengartner, and before there was Facebook, before Blu-ray, and before cell phones, there was the last old school generation. Join me and my co-host, Adam Henning, on The Midnight Jury as we take you on a trip back to the 80s and 90s. We debate pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture, all from WLW Studio South in Philadelphia. Let us transport you back to that last old school generation and join in our debate on The Midnight Jury. You can find us at facebook.com/WLW Studios, and we are available on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio for the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Finish this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart, and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on neckbreaker.net or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show. covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audioboo, Podcasts.com, and of course, at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, it's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizards.com, rantemradio.com, geekliferadio.com, iTunes, Audioboo, and Stitcher.
Hello, all you Funko Files and Funko Finettes. This is the one and only Guru, the Grappling Guru, the Wolfman Jack Foley himself, asking you to tune in to the Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular to hear Wolfie and his freaky friends delivering the finest and funniest in funkery to the back-loving masses. There's our old buddy, Sherman.
Don't fear him. Sorry.
Miss Mabel Murphy.
Naughty.
Mr. Nick and Nails.
Now I'm gonna split your lips to the side of your face.
And our newest funky friend, Overweight Larry. So listen in, and always keep those funk levels at a maximum. Thursdays at 8 Central, 9 Eastern on GeekLifeRadio.com, and anytime at www.ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. The Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular. It's always funky fresh.
In professional wrestling, only real men can wear pink and black. And now, thanks to the Shining Wizards, you can too. Available at shiningwizards.com/merch, the brand new Shining Wizards logo Heart Attack version t-shirts. They're limited in numbers and limited in size, so get yours now at shiningwizards.com/merch. How was your pee?
Oh, delicious.
Wow.
It was so good.
Awesome. Well, we're back. Hope you enjoyed the commercials. By the way, just so you know, the Heart Attack shirts are going fast. We are officially out of larges, which is surprising because none of our wrestling fans are larges. At least, not that I know of. But anyway, I digress. What do we got in the news, Matt?
Well, we talked about it a while ago. That fat, douchey piece of shit Abdul the Butcher.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I don't like him at all. No, allegedly. Don't fucking allegedly me.
You can't allegedly an opinion.
That fucking sloppy dick. We covered it way back in the day when we first started the show.
Way back.
Dude Hannibal. I think his name is Devin Nicholson.
You got
Nicholson.
It.
Nicholson.
At an Ontario. No, Ottawa, I think. I think he's out of Canada. One of you fucking cold places.
I think the lawsuit was in Alberta.
Okay.
I think that's where it went down. Anyway, yeah, he got the Hep C from good old Abby because Abby bladed him during their match back in 2007. And he
won a lawsuit. Such great headlines as Judge Pile Drives Abdul the Butcher for $2.3 million.
The sad part was this dude legit got a WWE contract, and they rescinded it 3 weeks later because he found out he had Hep C.
It's no different than fucking Nigel.
Yeah, this is true. The judge found that Abby bladed Mr. Hannibal. And also found by a matter of law that he had Hep C, even though Abby to this day was denying that he had it.
Yeah, well, he's got 2.3 million reasons not to fucking deny it.
I hope that House of Ribs is making money.
I was about to say, how is he going to get anything out of
the House of Ribs is going to be called Hannibal's House of Ribs.
Yeah. I'd go there.
Burns it to the ground.
Not if he was the cook, but I would go there.
That's fucking just gross.
Why do you have a picture of Michael Jackson? Please change that.
It's just a fucking Twitter
feed. I'm freaking out, please.
I hope you have nightmares.
He's waiting for a cock.
There you go. Go on.
It's awful.
Still.
Jesus.
Still there.
All right, that's better.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, titties. Wow.
But yeah, fuck him. Fuck him for fucking... How do you cut another man's head?
People do that all the time. New Jack's a fucking savant at that shit.
Yeah, but I mean...
Ring the fucking bell.
Whatever. fuck fuck you, you fucking fat shit. He asked me to cut him. Shit.
He didn't say this much or this much.
Fuck fucking Abdul the Butcher.
Fuck fucking Abdul.
He doesn't belong in the fucking Hall of Fame. He doesn't belong in a wrestling ring. What he did with Brody in the 70s was probably the best thing he's ever done. He needs to fucking die of a heart attack. How do you like them apples?
The only story that I ever found humorous about Abby was in one of Mick Foley's books, where he would actually sit at a casino table and stick poker chips in his fucking, in the folds in his head.
Gives a shit. He's a fucking asshole. Fat. Fucking asshole.
If you need proof as to how limited Abby is, I highly recommend, well, I recommend for historical purposes, checking out the Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view if you could find it, and check out the match between Abby and One Man Gang, and just watch Abby completely on camera in front of everybody continue to slice his head open with a fork. It's good times.
You fucking
fat. Do you remember that match? Do you remember that show?
The Heroes of Wrestling?
We should do an entire podcast just on that show.
They already did one.
Did we?
The Turnbuckle Throwback.
Oh, that's right. They did.
With Eddie.
Oh, that's right.
Fucking fat titted asshole.
Yeah, that's with Jake the Snake debacle.
Oh, I do owe an apology to Phil Rea. He does not have sausage link fingers.
No, he doesn't. I saw that picture.
He sent me a picture. They don't look like hot dogs. They look like almost like those really fat French fried potatoes.
They look like they look like the skinny the Jimmy Dean breakfast sausages, not like the real big fat ones, but so, like the skinny ones.
So I do owe him an apology. I'm sorry.
Wow, that's mighty white of you.
I mean, I feel like it's fair. So you want to tell... So we did a live podcast at Crossroads in Garwood, New Jersey last week. Huge
Which
thanks.
Actually had a good turnout.
Huge thanks to Kevin for setting it up. And,
thank you, Kevin.
Big
You're
Rich
welcome,
and Joe and all the boys that...
KP did. Burke, I've never actually seen him do... Like, I saw him very early on. Dude, he crushed...
He's very funny.
He's really funny, dude. Especially when he's yelling about like that story with his ex-girlfriend. Holy cow, dude. When he takes the mic away and he's just screaming.
Yeah. That's
real legit anger right there.
He's good.
And special thanks to the Heavenly Bodies, Mark and Justin Carino.
Yeah, everybody did a great job.
Coming down and joining us. But
wait, Mad Dog Jenkins is out of his fucking mind. He's out of his mind. I couldn't stop laughing at that guy.
The Mad Dog. That's why they call him that.
He's out of his fucking mind.
But we had front row tickets to PWS to give away, meet and greets with Mick Foley, tickets to the show that Kevin and Adam Lucidi are doing this Thursday night, 7 p.m., Garwood, New Jersey, with, I think I just mentioned it, but I'll mention it again, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
So fucking dickhead over here, Tony, thinks
it's... Wait, let me tell the story. It was funny.
It was funny until you...
Made us look like fucking cheating assholes.
So Mega
it
Powers...
Was, hold
no.
on. It was funny until you didn't get up out of your fucking seat.
I got up.
No, you didn't.
You got up because I yelled at you.
I tried to get... I'm like, dude, why aren't you on stage right now?
And Kevin was nice enough to like thank us, so he calls us up one at a time. He calls up Matt. He calls up Eddie. Mega Powers was sitting next to me, so I turned to him. I go, Dave, when he calls my name, go up there. Not thinking Dave's gonna do it, but Dave's like, fuck yeah, I'll do it.
Dave's
so
a glutton for attention. He'll do it. Fucking
so
Mega
Dave
Powers.
Gets on stage. It got a chuckle. You and Eddie chuckled. Kevin chuckled. Kevin's like, oh man, this is a rib. This
it
is great.
It was funny until you stayed on your fat ass.
No, the reason why it got less funny was because Kevin had the picture with all the 50-50 tickets, so, you know, the raffle tickets, and he started picking names for, like, you know, who's going to win the PWS tickets, whatnot. So it comes to the Mick Foley tickets. I'm standing next to Dave. I'm looking over his shoulder. Kevin reads off every fucking number on Dave's ticket. Dave wins the fucking tickets.
Dave wins. I mean...
And he's on stage, which
if he wasn't
made
on
that
stage,
much fucking worse.
If he wasn't on stage, it would have been no issue whatsoever. But everyone now in the crowd is yelling... Fucking cheaters, it's rigged,
listen,
this and that.
Listen, as awful as Matt makes it sound, you have to admit, it was the perfect ending to a wrestling-themed show.
Yeah, the fix
was
in.
It was a heel fucking winning, everybody booing. The promoter sends home with another pair of tickets for somebody else in the crowd, so everybody went home a winner. It was great. I thought it was great. It couldn't have worked out better from an entertainment standpoint. No, it wasn't. Come on, dude. It was a wrestling show. It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, but it's I'm the promoter.
I disagree.
If I'm the promoter of a show, it looks terribly bad on me to make think that I'm cheating anyone that's paying
you,
to come in.
But did
to Mega Powers' credit, he did buy a ticket. So
Mega Powers did pay to get in.
Fair and square. Nobody touched the bucket. It was the fun. I almost
fell off
the stage.
You had pulled other winners before that. Weren't you pulling other people?
I pulled,
out
I think,
of that?
Two winners that yeah. that weren't yeah. there.
There you
no,
go.
You pulled two winners for the
oh,
PWS,
for the PWS
tickets,
stuff.
And then you pulled two. You pulled Dave, and then they told you to give away another pair.
Yeah, I was ordered to give away another pair of tickets because it looked like I rigged it for my pal.
Did you get yelled at?
No.
No.
Because I'm not a fucking scumbag. I don't cheat people.
I couldn't
people.
Stop laughing. I couldn't stop. It was awesome, dude.
David
it was a moment.
If David wanted to get to the show, I would have made sure he got to the show, sell out or not. So, but it just looked terribly.
Because
he was
great,
on stage like a with a goofy smile on his face.
Wow.
He's
making
funny.
Fun of Dave.
I'm not making fun of Dave. I'm glad he came. He supported me. He's actually been. I've been talking to Dave a lot lately about real world shit. And I'm glad that he came out to support, and he's going to come out to see Mick Foley.
And he's coming out to Legends.
Legends of the Ring.
With sausage fingers.
Did you guys see this? I just pulled this up. WWE makes new overtures to former contracted talent to try to help them manage their money better.
All I got to say is it's about time.
Their WWE is now offering free of charge financial planning and debt assistance services through a financial firm for anyone who was ever under contract. The assistance would include help with financial management and for talents who are in debt and with debt consolidation.
That's good because a lot of these guys, like from back in the day, either, you know, there's two schools. Some guys are living quite well right now and other guys don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of.
Yeah, so that's coming out of Mike Johnson. Do you think that is a way to, I mean, obviously it's a huge step forward. It goes on par with their wellness program, offering free services to anyone.
Yeah, of course. It's fantastic.
But do you think the timing is a little, I mean, I'm just being completely cynic right now.
No, because I think
the timing is a little suspect because the stock has plummeted so much. Now, no. Do you think that that's trying to get us
no.
back in good favor?
They've been doing this and flying under the radar for so long. I'm pretty sure the first time we talked to Justin Credible, he had already been through a couple times. Tammy's been through a bunch. Mm-hmm. She was through like 5-6 times apparently. My numbers
then
could
they,
be
they
off.
Were, then they stopped. They cut it off.
Right,
because
she was a fucking disaster. Thankfully, she got her shit together. But I mean, 5-6 times. Those things aren't fucking cheap.
Yeah,
they're not.
So
they
I
not.
Mean, they've been doing this. You know, and I think every once in a while, you know, they put Scott Hall through.
Right.
Jake a bunch of times, you know. Every once in a while, it catches wind that they're doing this. But I think it's something they've always been doing. And kudos to them.
Oh, this is something. This is also part of it. They're also offering $5,000 per semester scholarship for any former talents who wish to further their college education. The letter noted that talents needed to enroll by August 1st to be eligible for the $5,000 available for them for the fall 2014 semester and provide proof of enrollment.
That's good, especially for the younger guys. Like if they bring somebody in like 19, 20 years old, hopeful to get a contract, doesn't work out for them, at least they're not just kicking them to the curb and saying like, hey.
Go back to school, man.
Yeah.
That's
give
awesome.
Them some help. That's pretty cool.
Always have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, that's I just pulled that up on the interweb. So
nice.
Kudos to WWE for that. That's really cool.
Yes.
WrestlingDVDnews.com, my main source for WWE DVDs. Apparently, they sent out another survey about what kind of DVDs you'd like to see next year.
Hey y'all.
Lots of interesting ones. Inside the Rivalry, covering Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper, their feud. Inside the Matches, where they talk about high-profile matches, Austin The Rock, Hogan McMahon, Cena Rock, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart.
Who talks about them?
The
Steve Lombardi.
The synopsis is non-kayfabe look into matches of X vs. X with
Steve
interviews
Lombardi.
Of WWE superstars and people behind the sea.
Behind the sea?
Scenes.
Behind the sea, somewhere you
There's
me.
A reunion special, The Click.
That would be awesome if you had the
five
of them
guys together. What else? WWE reveals the Owen Hart story, Lawler Kaufman, The Curtain Call. Documentaries, Sting, DX,
Sting.
Andre the Giant, Hogan.
I would watch every single one of those that you just mentioned.
So I mean, a lot of interesting things.
But this would be through the eyes of people that obviously aren't contracted by WWE, right?
I don't.
It's going to be Vince Russo.
There's very little details as to who would be taking part of this.
But this is not affiliated with
WWE.
Oh,
no, this is WWE.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this is a survey that WWE put out, and these guys just picked up the story.
Yeah, WWE Wrestling DVD News is all affiliated with WWE. They get any DVD news that WWE releases goes to them, and they release it.
All right, that's cool. I would watch
every very cool, considering it's going to be WWE stuff. That's very cool.
I would
cool.
watch every single one of those.
So that's something to look forward to. I watched the preview of the Heyman documentary that they're putting out.
Ooh, when's that coming out?
August.
Ooh.
Give it 2 months. It'll be on the network. Triple H's King of Kings is already on there. Thy Kingdom Come.
Foley's is on there.
I don't want to wait till October.
Yeah. I'd probably pick up the Heyman one.
I don't know. It's just weird. Like, I have a stack of Blu-rays that I haven't watched yet, and I don't even need to pop them in. They're all popping up on the network now. Like the Rivalries DVD, which I actually did watch finally.
Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart one?
Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart popped up. Thy Kingdom Come was on there, which I didn't buy.
Yeah, but does that have all the matches and stuff, or is it just
just a documentary.
But you know why? Like, honestly, when I buy them, like, yeah, it's great to have the matches, but I do just like watching the documentaries.
Me too.
I think they're, like, very well done.
No, I like the documentaries too, but I like...
It's great having the matches, don't get me wrong.
There's a lot, like, I've said it before, you know, there's a lot that I didn't watch.
No, I get
that
you.
Time span. So it's if there's something in the documentary that interests me during that time span where I wasn't watching, and I could just easily access the match.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, right there.
Which is why I like the way they did their Mid-South DVD. They would talk about somebody, and then they would show some matches. Then they talk about something else and show some matches. Like, it all flowed.
Let's see. Other interesting things. IWF school. They'll be sending our friend Corey Havoc, to tryouts for upcoming Raw and SmackDown events.
Good for Corey.
That's
man.
Cool. So, good for him, man.
So he's on the CWE Radio Network with the Aristocrats.
Clutch and wiggle, wiggle,
and,
wiggle.
He's got a Twitter at Corey Havoc. I think he's the first guy to rock our gear on the way to the ring. So
it was at the PWS Super Show last year, in a Battle Royal, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Or was it
WrestleMania weekends?
Janela before him.
It might have been Janela.
Janela may have been. That was before my time then, because I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway,
it's great, still a big
kudos
still
to Corey Havoc for working his ass off, and you know, give him a congrats and a shout out on the Twitter machine, because he'll appreciate it.
Yes. Christina Diamond rocking our shirt today.
Yeah,
AJ Styles, IWGP champ, rocking
our shirt. That's right. That looked good, didn't it? That was a nice surprise the other morning.
It was great.
Man. So get on that pink and black attack, motherfucker.
Yes. People go, we're running out of shirts. We literally have, like, how many shirts? Six left?
Something
whatever
like
the
that.
Pile was. Like, we're out of larges. So unless you're really big or really small, you're out of luck this time. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees and get our shirts from there. But definitely, if you want a pink and black, we're not going to do another run of them, right?
I don't think so. I think we're gonna
move on.
Yeah, we have to move
different
on.
Color
we weren't
scheme.
Even gonna do it. We weren't even gonna do pink and black a second time. Like, we were just once and done. But it was such a crazy demand for them. We did a whole nother run, and they're practically gone now.
I want to give a shout out to our buddy Redbeard.
Thoughts and prayers,
horrific injury a couple weeks ago. I know he listens to the podcast. Just hope you're doing better, buddy. And the no fatties.
Don't get fat, dude. Don't get fat. Don't get fat on your one leg,
pal? You can still work the other leg.
Work the other leg and fucking no fatties.
Thoughts and prayers for the family of Ann B. Davis. We know Eddie's a big fucking 70s and 80s TV mark. Alice the Maid died. So sorry, Eddie.
Sorry, Eddie.
Eddie's at the services tonight.
No, it's Eddie's mommy's birthday.
Happy birthday, Eddie's mom.
Happy birthday, Mrs. E.
And, I mean, I think that's I got. Oh, you want? I got nothing else. Well, I don't know what you guys
want me to repeat the plugs? Well, Kevin already talked about the Mick Foley plug again. So
at nauseum.
Saturday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, along with three of the four Wizards, along with Sonny and Just Incredible, and I think the Fallen Angels might be joining us at some point. Come on out to Monroe. It's for Legends of the Ring. There's tons of people there. All the super tickets and whatnot are sold out, but there's tons of talent. Go to legendsoftheRing.com for more info. Pro Wrestling Syndicate back in Rahway at the Rec Center on Saturday. They are having their Supercard 2014. Bret Hart's going to be there. Booker T is going to be the guest commissioner for the night. There's a suicidal six-way with our buddy Teddy Hart involved. Who else is on there, Matt?
It is 6 o'clock is autographs. 8 o'clock is bell time.
7:30.
Oh, they moved the back.
They're doing, I think they're doing like a pre-show.
Sorry, yes, a pre-show. Suicidal Six-Way, McIntosh defends against Teddy Hart, Sanjay Dutt, Facade, the Drunken Swashbuckler, and Shiron, the Spirit Dragon. Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah!
Ladder match for the Straps, the Lone Rangers, Pat Buck, and John Silver defend against the Reynolds Brothers. Low-Key against Rhino.
Ooh, Colt Cabana
against Hurricane Helms. Starman against Danny Moff in a Moff's Madness match.
Which means Starman's going to win because nobody ever wins their own gimmick match.
Fans bring the weapons match. Reality check of Kevin Matthews, Devin Moore, and Craven Varro take over Fala and the Heavenly Bodies.
Take over?
Take on?
Take on. Take on.
They might take over. Who knows? It's fucking...
It's stacked. We're stoked. Be there.
There's so many matches.
First
so many
three
people.
Rows are sold out. I think legitimately they were looking at about 1,200 or 1,300 tickets already at this point.
I mean, Snuka's going to be there. Awful. Sorry, I don't like Jimmy Snuka.
Carlos, is he going to be killing women? Hiding women.
Kevin just had like this like how dare you?
No, I thought I heard something.
Lance Hoyt, Davey Boy Smith,
Hoyt.
Balls Mahoney.
Oh, great.
Arkham, the Big O.
Bring your plastic wrap. Pretend you're going to see Gallagher.
Damian Gibbs, who apparently...
Is Vicious Vin on the show?
He's gay for me.
Who is?
Damian Gibbs.
He's
apparently
gay for
he
you?
Likes men. Yes.
Men. Damian Gibbs came out on Thursday.
Yes. He did. Thanks.
To,
big shout out to Gibbs.
To Damian Gibbs. And I got nothing else.
Kevin, you are appearing Thursday with McFoley. Any other dates in the future? Oh, Kevin is up for comedy on
Cookman.
Comedy on Cookman. We almost had KP Burke on the show last year. I think he just missed out. But go to our Facebook page. The link's on there, right? Or is it comedy on Cookman?
Yeah, you can go to fifthroundmovement.com or just Google Fifth Round Movement. Go to Comedy on Cookman tab.
And vote for Kevin because he's a funny fucking dude.
And yeah, it's cool. It's a cool show down in Asbury Park that actually my dad's. See, this is gonna sound like I'm a shiesty bastard again.
Well, you are, dude.
Because my dad's best friend from college actually owns the facility that this guy Angelo runs the show out of. So that's pretty funny. What the fuck were we gonna say regarding PWS still? I had one more thing I wanted to say.
There's gonna be a soda dispenser in the northeast ring corner.
There's going to be cheesesteak served from somebody's
puss
genital area.
I'll give a shout out real quick to my boys at Squared Circle Entertainment.
Cool.
They're a Facebook group, but they're planning a whole lot of great big things, including a website. Robert, Josh, I'm not sure who the other guys are, but they're really cool, and they let me plug our stuff on their Facebook page. So thank you to them.
I know I'm going to catch heat for this, but I am wearing my individual one and only one-shot deal hashtag, I can't even talk. I'm getting like Matt. Hashtag podcast cancer shirt. I know that some people were interested in them. Let me know if you are, and I will probably do a secret sale on them.
And I will come to your house, and I will stab you. If you order that shirt.
People are really interested in those.
Dude, people want this shirt. It's crazy.
People think.
Wait, why are you looking at the stairs?
I keep thinking I hear.
No, not you, him this time.
I keep thinking that I hear something going on over there.
Speaking of hearing, do you have a closing number so we can wrap this up?
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I do.
Is there anything else going on this weekend other than what we've talked about? Other than what we're doing? I guess it doesn't matter if we're not involved in it.
Yeah, fuck them.
All right.
Go out, support your local indies, and suck my dick.
There you go. I don't even know if we've ever used this before. I just clicked on something. It's going to be loud.
Is this Aaron Neville again?
Up. Aaron Neville
is it
was
going
a
to
loud
be loud? Yeah.
Yeah. You hear that bass in my voice, baby?
It's a long intro.
Is this three count? Roll the dice, play your cards, what the fuck? Wait, what is this? This sounds so familiar.
Wait for the hook.
What is this game? I don't know. Oh, Deadly Game?
There you go.
It's a Deadly Game!
See you guys next week. Hopefully we see it at Legends of the Ring.
Hopefully I see you Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Mick Foley. Comedy.
Boom.
Laugh your balls off at
Come
bananas.
Spend your money, folks. Support some good causes.
I got a bag of shit I can give you that you can give away to people if you want.
A literal bag of shit?
No, like all wrestling related shit that I don't want.
For what?
If you can get it to me for Saturday, have one of these guys bring it up.
It's in my trunk.
Bring right it now. In the house.
Give it to me.
It's like DVDs and t-shirts and shit.
For Saturday, I'll be there Friday, so just give
yeah,
it to
dude,
me.
You know what? Bring it. I'll just give shit away.
Well, give it to Kevin. He's going to be there all weekend.
The whole time.
All right. Give it to Kevin. All
right. Now let's get back to this awesome song.
Dude, we didn't give shit away at the show on Thursday.
Willow! Willow!
Willow! Hashtag, we book TNA.